In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump on Thursday traveled to the U.S.-Mexico border. On the eve of federal workers missing their first paycheck since the government shutdown began, and edging closer to declaring a federal emergency in order to build his border wall. This is what he said to reporters.
If we don't make a deal, I mean, I would say 100%, but I don't want to say 100% because maybe something else comes up. But if we don't make a deal, I would say it would be very surprising to me that I would not declare a national emergency and just fund it through the various mechanisms. And by the way, there's more than one mechanism. There's various mechanisms. And the lawyers tell me 100%. It would be nice if we could make a deal. But dealing with these people is ridiculous. I don't know if they know how to make a deal.
That's President Trump on Thursday in McAllen, Texas, as part of his visit to the border, a stunt intended to convince his base that violence and crime were pouring over from Mexico into the U.S. News emerged that the White House would divert emergency funding from the billions of dollars that Congress had set aside for rebuilding areas struck by recent climate disasters, including California's wildfire destruction and the aftermath of hurricanes in North Carolina, Houston, and Puerto Rico. Trump apparently dismissed outright an attempt by some Republicans to bring the White House and Democrats together using a large immigration reform bill that offered some concessions to immigrant groups. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who had led that effort, explained, quote, "it kind of fell apart." He then said, "it's time for President Trump to use emergency powers to fund the construction of a border wall slash barrier," and added, "I hope it works." Meanwhile, thousands of federal workers protested in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, angry about the ongoing government impasse, which looks on track to breaking records on the longest shutdown in U.S. history. The rally was led by several unions representing federal workers and joined by other unions and union workers expressing their solidarity. According to the Washington Post, those who gathered, chanting, "pay the workers, furlough Trump," as they marched to the White House, work for various federal agencies and live in different states. Some said they support Trump's push for a border wall and increased security along the U.S.-Mexico border. Others scoffed at the idea. Brittany Holder, a spokeswoman for the National Federation of Federal Employees, told the Post, quote, "We want to send a very strong message that this is not about politics. It's about getting people back to work. People are feeling really stressed and anxious, and they want to know when this will end." Here are some of the sounds from Thursday's protest.
We want to work, we're paid! 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 We want to work, we're paid!
Pay the workers, furlough Trump! Pay the workers, furlough Trump!
Those are the voices of federal workers angry at having their paychecks withheld as a nearly three-week-long partial federal government shutdown continues with no end in sight. On the same day as the protest, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill ensuring that workers who go without pay will receive full compensation when the government reopens. In other news, Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, has agreed to publicly testify in front of Congress next month. His testimony is yet another result of the Democrats taking majority power in the House and fulfills one of the key promises that the party made to voters in investigating the president's shady dealings. Cohen has pled guilty to several charges stemming from the ongoing investigations into election wrongdoing and has already been sentenced to 3 years in prison. In accepting the congressional invitation to testify, Cohen said in a statement, "I look forward to having the privilege of being afforded a platform with which to give a full and credible account of the events which have transpired." Republicans dismissed the coming testimony as political theater, while Mr. Trump said he's, quote, "not worried about it at all." Independent Senator Bernie Sanders and House Representative Elijah Cummings on Thursday unveiled a major bill to reduce prescription drug prices. Both lawmakers denounced President Trump's attempts to lower the prices of prescription medication in making their case for a set of three bills. According to Reuters, the Sanders and Cummings bill would peg U.S. prescription drug prices to the median price from five countries, Canada, Britain, France, Germany, and Japan, where drug costs are typically far lower because of government price controls. Here is Senator Sanders, followed by Representative Cummings, making an address on Thursday about their proposed legislation.
Our people pay far more for prescription drugs than people in other countries. Why are there no restrictions on what a drug company can charge? And why is it that tomorrow the medicine that you use may be doubled or tripled in price? And the answer is simple. With a possible exception, in my view, of Wall Street, the pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful political force in this country.
These bills are important because it's time to provide much needed relief to the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, and I say to the President, no more talk, no more tweet, no more commotion, emotion, and motion and no results. The American people want action. They should not have to decide between paying their bills or paying for prescription drugs. And I say again, we're better than that. We need real and immediate action to lower drug prices in this country.
That's Representative Elijah Cummings, who's the new chairman of the House Oversight Committee, and before him, Senator Bernie Sanders. Both lawmakers have introduced legislation intended to reduce prescription drug prices. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo traveled to the Middle East this week, where he gave a major speech on Thursday in Cairo, Egypt. His lengthy address laid out a new vision for a Trumpian foreign policy, while blasting that of former President Barack Obama. Much of that vision centered on isolating Iran. Here is part of what Pompeo said.
The age of self-inflicted American shame is over, and so are the policies that produce so much needless suffering. The United States under President Trump has reasserted its traditional role as a force for good in this region. We've learned from our mistakes. Nations are rallying to our side to confront the regime like never before. Egypt, Oman, Kuwait, and Jordan have all been instrumental in thwarting Iran's efforts to evade sanctions.
That's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo making a widely criticized speech in Cairo, Egypt on Thursday. He gave the speech just about a decade after President Obama made a historic speech in the same city. Pompeo is on a multi-nation tour of the Middle East along with White House National Security Advisor John Bolton. The trip is intended to offer nations clarity on Trump's sudden announcement of a complete withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria. But according to the New York Times, the two officials left the administration's message muddier than they found it. In Jerusalem on Sunday, Mr. Bolton laid out conditions for withdrawal that could leave American troops in Syria indefinitely. When reporters asked Pompeo about the contradictions, he simply said, "There is no contradiction whatsoever. This is a story made up by the media." And that does it for our headlines today.